Today, I'm going to be talking to you about how progress comes from repeating and not randomizing. So what I mean by that is that if you've ever, let's say you wanted to master the guitar, would you play a random song every day, or would you have a system to where you would learn the chords, you would learn how to strum properly, you would learn how to read music, right? Like, you just wouldn't just jump into to playing random songs and choosing different ones every day, right? And so also think of it like this, in more of a fitness context. Like, if you just had random nutrition, like you had just all protein one day and all Pop-Tarts the next, things probably wouldn't end up too well for you, and you probably wouldn't feel that great either. So the same concept applies to your training regimen. And random training might feel fun short term, where you're just kind of doing fun workouts here and there, but it sabotages long term results. And repetition is actually what builds adaptation skill, and also, most importantly, allows us to measure progress. If it's your first time joining us, I'm Matt Benward. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California, with my wife, Caitlin. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. So first thing we're going to talk about today is the problem with random workouts. And then we're going to get into why repetition, can't even speak right now, drives progress. And then we're going to talk about what a solid program actually looks like. And then we're going to chase that with some real world examples and what to do instead of doing random workouts. And then we'll wrap things up from there. So let's get right into the problem right now with random workouts. Now, this was kind of a CrossFit thing, honestly. So there was linear progressions, was actually a very popular thing. And progressive overload wasn't a new thing when CrossFit first came around. And CrossFit kind of disrupted the space, where it introduced constantly varied functional movement at high intensity. And now the issue with that is, now we've really learned that there's a different way to train to get better at CrossFit. We thought that in the early days, the philosophy was that, hey, you kind of just do random workouts and you'll get better. And then now we know that randomly preparing for any task is a lot. You don't have to do that. You can prepare for any random task that's placed ahead of you with a linear progression and a structure to it. And randomly preparing for any task just isn't going to work. You know, it's just not. And we've learned that the hard way over time. And the problem is with random is just not effective, right? So random leaves no trail. So we can't actually track data to see if we're progressing or not. And especially if we never repeat it. Okay. So yeah, and I understand it. Like, people do crave novelty. It gives them the illusion of intensity or effectiveness, but it's kind of more like a dopamine hit, like social media, but it's not actually a results-driven strategy here when it comes to this. And some common traps of this is just following either Instagram workouts or influencers who post flashy one-off workouts. We're like, oh, I'm going to try that. And so I'm guilty of that as well, where it's like, oh, that looks cool, I'm just going to go do that. But doing something different every day just to avoid boredom isn't going to make progress, you know, sustainable. And there's a lot of confusion when it comes to CrossFit. So constantly varied, now that we know it, now that we've evolved in our philosophy of training, constantly varied doesn't mean completely different random movements every day. And so there is a way to do this with a smart variation, and it's still built on structured training cycles and repeated exposures. So you can't randomly back squat once a month and expect to make progress in back squats. And those of you who go to the gym, Red Wolf, you guys know that we run things in training cycles. You see that, you know, on, like, for example, on Fridays, we've been squatting. So you can see that, hey, we have a squat cycle, and then we're basing our numbers off what we did last week, and we percentage is based on the beginning of the cycle. And we also have a retest at the end to see if we're actually making progress. And if we did make progress or didn't make progress, what is the gap? Or how much did we gain, or how much did we lose? So that way we have an idea of what we can do moving forward in order to break through some of these plateaus. So let's go into why repetition drives progress. So the main point here is a neurological adaptation. So you just don't lift weights with your muscles. Your brain has to learn the movement too. And there's a difference between neurological and organic adaptation. So for example, a burpee or an echo bike or rowing. I mean, there's a little bit of neurological in there, but it's mostly organic. And you have neurological adaptations as well, which is mostly something like double unders, a high skill movement like handstand holds, handstand walks. The Olympic lifts are a good one as well. And a lot of these, when you mix them into CrossFit, they are both organic and neurological adaptations. And so repeating these things, especially higher skill movements, improves motor control, bar path, and confidence under load, which is extremely important because you have to be able to do it well before you can do it fast. And this is where we have dedicated training cycles coming in, because if you notice, you don't really see it as often. You don't really totally do a full max out Olympic lift traditionally in like a CrossFit competition. There'll be either some sort of a complex, and even if you do lift, you're going to be tired from maybe one or two workouts before you even get to the lift itself. So you're already kind of tired. So we have to train for that and be ready for that as well. And you do that with progressive overload. And then you also have the difference between the strength and the skill. So squatting heavy, for example, is a learned skill. And you need to train that in order to groove it over and over. Because there are certain positions that you're working on, like pauses, mobility. Your central nervous system is also adapting. That's also why you'll fail on a back squat, is that you'll see, I mean, sure, you've seen this before, is that you'll see someone going down the back squat. They look solid. Looks like they're going to lift it easily. And then on the way up, they just shut down and the bar falls off the back. And so that's the nervous system literally shutting itself down to protect it. So that way it dumps the load. It's like, oh, this is uncomfortable. This is not good. Boom, I'm shutting the system down. Get rid of it. So that's why we have to also train for neurological adaptations, because that's how we also make progress, is lifting high percentages or close to failure on some of these lifts. And then we also have progressive overload, which you can't apply overload if the movement constantly changes. So if we're just randomly shoulder pressing whenever we want without any real progression behind it, we're not going to make progress. And you can't apply, you know, you have no idea what in terms of load, reps, volume, tempo, all these work if the base movement is consistent. So that's why we try and structure our training to the where we're repeating the exact same exercises. You know, there's going to be different variations and we'll mix things up still, but overall, it's all moving towards the same thing. So this is where we control the load, reps, volume, and tempo. And this will work over time because we know what day we're hitting it. We know what kind of fatigue we're hitting it. That also allows us to structure and make sure that we're not as fatigued for some of these days, depending on what the previous day's workouts are as well. Because going into something with a game plan usually works out a lot better than not having a game plan, if my math gets me right. So, and then this allows us to give us measurement and momentum. So when you have the progressions and you know what days you're doing your training or certain days you're doing, like you have one day that you know for a fact is going to be a long aerobic day, you can mentally prepare for that and warm up properly. And if you know that's part of your training cycle, and let's say the next day you have squats or deadlifts or bench press, then you know exactly what's coming. And again, you can adequately prepare for that. And if you can measure it, you can improve it. And by getting feedback, and we know that we can look back on the days, also makes it easier so some coaches, because we know, like, for the squatting example on Fridays, we know we've been squatting every Friday. Really easy for us to track the data because we know it's coming. We know what's happened. We can track data from there and we can make improvements. Again, makes it easier. I mean, the more simple we can make it, the better for everybody, right? Repeating allows you to track PRs, volume, and also rate of adaptation. I forgot to mention that earlier. Rate of adaptation is extremely important because if you can see what you're progressing on week by week, a good example of this is I haven't been snatching a lot recently in the last like year and a half. And then this year, got back into snatching because I am going to be competing in Wadapalooza. I'm really out of shape. So I'm really dialing in. I'm going to get as fit as I can before the competition itself. And I'm really working on my snatch. So I've been snatching, snatch has been on Saturday for every CrossFit class. And so earlier in the year, I was snatching maybe 115, pretty ugly. And then the other day I hit a snatch pull plus snatch from the floor at 190. It was pretty easy. And then I proceeded to do like 175 squat snatches in the workout itself with no misses. And it's been a while since I've been able to do that. But you can see how fast I progressed from January doing 115 pound snatch, three position, just working on my positioning, and then now doing 190. That's a pretty good progression. Now, mind you, I do have a big base. So for me, I'm just retraining my nervous system to lift those loads again, but the mechanics are still there. So I do have a leg up on that. So I should make progress a little bit faster just because I've had a huge base built over the last 15, 17 years of training. But I can see my adaptation every Saturday that, hey, Because I know the week before I did 175 for the complex, and the week before that I did 155. So it's like, okay, I can see, and then also keeps me motivated. And guess what? If I have a bad day, I can be like, okay, well, now I can identify what was the main constraint of my lift. Was it the pull? Was it my contact point? Is my speed through the middle, or my hip extension not good? Is my positioning off? Do I have a mobility issue? So it allows me to articulate and identify the problem very quickly, and then improve it, especially if I have a bad day or something goes off, or my numbers aren't progressing. Now I know exactly that there's a problem with the snatch or whatever lift I'm working on, and I can move on from there. And then also this allows us to put in and plug in and layer in recovery and adaptation curve. So your body adapts to repeated stress, and random stress equals poor and inconsistent adaptation. And mind you, that this comes into recovery as well. So it allows us to structure the week to where, again, we gather feedback. We're like, are we progressing? Are our numbers going up? Are the adaptations coming as fast as we want, or as slow as, or is it coming too slow? And allows us to be like, oh, maybe we should back off and allow people to rest. Or are we doing too much up front in the week? Do we need to move the volume towards the back end half of the week, in order to make sure that we are adapting better for our upfront lifts? Let's go into what a solid training program actually looks like. So the main talking points here I'm going to talk about is foundational movement patterns, consistency over weeks, progressions, conditioning that supports but not randomizes, and accessory work as well. So let's get right into foundational movement patterns. So we have our push, pull, hinge, squat, carry, and rotate. So these should appear weekly and often multiple times per week. Typically, if we identify a weakness in someone, we want to hit that at least 3 times a week. So you heard it here first. Again, if you have a major weakness, you got to have at least 3 touch points a week. That's going to be the right amount of frequency for you. And then from there, we want to make sure that we're at least hitting a push, pull, hinge, squat, carry, and a rotate at least once a week minimum, in order to either maintain or to drive some small adaptations from there. And it's consistency over weeks. So typically that's why training cycles are anywhere between, my favorite length of training cycles, anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks, because they're long enough to drive adaptation, but short enough to where I don't get super bored. So for example, we have our core or our main lift that we need to improve, or our main skill or strength that we need to improve. We always put that on Monday. So that's our primary thing. Now, if we're hitting it 3 times a week, depends on what we're structuring for the rest day. But let's say, Monday, Thursday, and Saturday are our primary days that we're going to have bias towards our weakness training. That's when we put it up front. And then we want to repeat similar rep ranges or gradually change them over time. So we want to make sure, because again, that gives us feedback. So for example, I've been doing also some kettlebell seated shoulder presses. And I start off with like really light, like 18 pounds. And over time, now I've progressed up to 35 pounds each hand. Again, not very good, but pretty good for me to at least see the progress, especially in those rep ranges, especially because I've been doing training before that. So I'm going to be a little under fatigued. Now, in terms of progressions, what we're looking for is, like, for example, week one will look like this, because we want to build a base in the first week and get the nervous system adapted. So we're doing like 3 sets of 10 at like 70%, or rate of perceived exertion 70%. And then by week four, we're doing like 4 sets of 6 at a heavier load, maybe like an RPE of about 85 to 90%. And then that's real progress. So we can look back on that, and then we can look at the total training volume, and then we can see if we made progress or not. And then allows us to compare and plug in and track data and see what the loads look like and what the percentage of improvement is. And then we also want conditioning that supports and but doesn't randomize it. So we do want to have a benchmark piece, and we want to benchmark people before we start this training cycle, so we know what we're kind of working with. And then we want to return to those benchmark pieces about every 6 to 8 weeks. So that way we can see is like, oh, and then we can see like, okay, do we improve more biasly towards this piece, or is this piece, or is the reason why this piece improved more is because we were too biased towards this? Because it allows us to identify if there's anything that we were a little too heavily involved with, and then we can make that change moving forward on the next training cycle. And then mixed modal workouts are structured around repeatability and also pacing. So we want to make sure that the benchmark workouts that we design are really easy to do again, that aren't super complicated, that are simple enough and aren't super skill-based technically. So, depending on the ability level, to where we can actually measure progress. Because if they're too skill-based, then the skill may have improved, but the fitness itself did not. And so that's something we just want to keep an eye on. And then accessory work is going to change a little more frequently, but it still follows this theme. So accessory work will just complement the work that of our main pieces. But we don't really track accessory work that much. It's not that vital that we track it, because it's going to vary. And typically accessory work is done post-workout or post our main pieces. So there's going to be some pre-fatigue there as well. So it's not really worth it for us to track too much. I mean, we want to know some numbers, but for the most part, it's there just to complement and to improve our main core lifts or our main core skills there as well. Now let's get into some real world examples of this. So we did have a member who bounced around for years, and they were just kind of doing random workouts. And they did come from another gym. And their main thing was that, I mean, they liked the other gym, they liked the people, the coaching was still good, but they said the issue was the program design didn't really make a lot of sense in terms of actually improving. And so then we got them going into our training, and then we actually showed how we benchmark people, how we progress people, and then they saw that, and then they saw the value in that and how important it was to actually see progress in these main things and to actually get trained up properly for it. And then we also see this with people on Build and Burn as well, because when it comes to training, we see a lot of people don't do enough, because we can only do so much in a 1 hour class. And you have to think about, like, the entire hour, we're not even working out the entire hour. We got warm up, we have cool down, we have setup, we have transitions. You know, there's a lot of time spent getting, even just getting ready for the workout and tearing everything down at the end. And so that's how we also build repetition in the core lifts. Cause a lot of times what we do in Build and Burn is we'll put things that complement the main things that we just work with, either the lift, skill, or whatever, into Build and Burn. And then we also add in conditioning intervals, so that way it leads to consistent progress, and we kind of build a base and we kind of layer stuff on top of it in order to keep pushing progress forward with that. And then, so in contrast, you know, you have random program with no visible change, and then you just have just sweat and soreness, which, I mean, if you're going after that, like, by all means do that. I mean, that's what I would say 90% of the population does, who does work out. They don't really have a plan. They just want to go in, get a workout in, sweat, and get a little sore. And will they still make progress? Probably. It will be very slow, as long as they're consistent with it. But the thing is, though, how consistent will you be with that by just doing random things all the time? Yeah, it's fun for a little bit, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot more fun to actually progress in your training and to get fitter. It's not fun to not progress, believe me. It's not fun at all. Take my word for it. And so here's what to do instead of doing random workouts. So you want to follow a strict training block. So again, a 4 week cycle is your minimum. Six to eight week cycles are typically the sweet spot, at least for me personally. Again, that's just my style. Other coaches might disagree. I don't care. Go listen to them if you want. And then you can go up to 10 to 16 weeks. 16 weeks is really pushing it. Again, depends on what you're focusing on here. And you want to repeat key lifts and conditioning tests with subtle weekly changes. So you do want to make some changes. It shouldn't be completely just super structured to the point where it's too linear, but you want to make it linear enough to where it's easy to track progress, and then you can also see your improvements down the line. And you want to focus on key themes here as well to make sure you're as balanced as possible. So you have an upper body pull progress in like a certain block that's biased towards that. You have an energy system focus or aerobic capacity, strength endurance, CP system, whatever, strength cycle, block cycle, squat cycle, whatever. Again, you can't do it all at once. So you have to be biased towards what you need to work on the most. And then you have to track your lifts, your times, and your body metrics. So pen and paper, app, whiteboard, whatever, doesn't matter. Just track it. Again, if you're one of those people that doesn't want to track, totally fine. If you're here to just work out, totally fine. I don't care. I'm not here to judge you. Do what you want. It's your body. But I'm just saying that from someone who's done this for a very long time, that seeing progress is one of the best motivators for me to keep working out. Not everyone needs that, but that's just me personally. And then you want to add variety through accessories, finisher, and movement tweaks. So it's fine to add some novelty and stuff, but usually save it for something that's not going to overly tax you, or something that will still complement your other workout without overly gassing you as well. So you don't need a new workout. You just need a better stimulus at the end of the day. So if you want to see real results, body recomposition, strength, performance, that you need to have structure, and then we have to repeat, refine, and then progress. And it may not be sexy repeating some things week after week, or doing the same boring rowing intervals and just adding some either sets, lowering the rest, or increasing volume over time. But that's exactly how we progress. And that's exactly how as coaches, are able to see and coach you and track the data and make sure that we're getting you guys better. So repeating, just remember that repeating doesn't mean boring. It just means effective. And there's nothing wrong with having fun, but it's fun for the day. And repeating equals success for an entire season, which could be a very long time. So thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful and you want to hear more content like this, please leave me an honest review. And don't forget to DM us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit. We'd love to hear some content suggestions from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.